The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Thursday. That feels like a Friday because we have no work tomorrow because of the holiday weekend. Hey, Drax, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Sitting with my green girl. If you're watching on YouTube, Claudia and I are in head-to-toe green.
If we were on a green screen right now, you would be seeing nothing.
This show is right now like 90% green.
Oh, my God. You know what?
We've gone green, Claude.
Jackie. Greta's influence.
We've gone green.
Greta's influence cannot be overstated.
I think this is what she meant when she asked us to go green.
We heard her and we listened.
And so we've gone green with our plastic cups
and our plastic straws.
Cheers.
Save the planet.
How you doing? I'm always being asked how you doing. I never get to ask how you doing, even though I was the one who started. How you doing?
I'm okay. Like, I have been sitting here with you for like 15 minutes and you haven't mentioned my haircut.
Because it's not drastic.
I know, but like, it's nice, you know, I spent the money and the time at the salon. It's nice to be like, hey, great haircut.
I'm just so used to you looking beautiful every day that it kind of doesn't register for me.
I don't know. When you came in with a haircut, I was like, oh my God, I love your haircut. You're so gorgeous. Like, you should be on the cover of a magazine. Like, I was just kind of fawning over you. And I was just like kind of expecting that sort of energy.
Well, one, I saw your haircut on Instagram last night, so I felt like caught up.
Okay.
Two, it looks really similar. But three, I will say it looks like you got a really nice blowout.
Thanks. I didn't do anything drastic. I got like a quick trim. You know, I'm losing my hair these days. I can't be affording to cut it all off, you know?
Yeah, that's so unlike you. Usually you love to cut it all off.
I know. Even though the annoying thing is like when you need your hair to grow, like you have to cut it. It's just so counterintuitive.
No, but it makes sense. Now we're a couple girls with just like healthy locks.
Okay, wait. I just thought of something. You have like moments that are like so inconsequential in your childhood. I thought of this yesterday and now I just thought of another one. Like random moments in class that like were so humiliating, but like were really like nothing, but you randomly remember them.
Yeah.
Okay. I remembered something yesterday that was like so embarrassing that I did in actual kindergarten, but like it was so stupid. And then I just thought of another one. When I was in the eighth grade, I don't remember. It was like a Bible class, a chumash. And she was trying to make a metaphor about how in order for something to grow, you need to like cut it off or whatever. I don't remember what it was. She was like, so when you guys need your hair to grow, what do? And she called on me. And I didn't know at that time, like in the eighth grade, like in order for your hair to grow, you needed to cut it. So I remember answering. I was like, wash it. And it was just humiliating because then like everybody shot up their hands. They were like, cut it. I was like, okay, I guess okay, we all just knew that.
That's a little advanced. Like, this isn't cosmetology school. How would you know that?
Thank you. But what just reminded me is something I wanted to tell you. I remembered yesterday, I don't remember how or why this popped into my memory, but like the most humiliating thing that happened to me in dead ass kindergarten, okay? Part of like the kindergarten curriculum was every day somebody would come up and like do the calendar and like say what date it was. And I remember thinking like, how does everybody know the date? Like, it's such a, like, to me, it was such a far off concept. Yeah. Like, month and day. I'm like, how are we all knowing this? So, like, I never paid attention. I was just like dreading the day I got called on. And I don't know if I knew that I was going to get called on that day or I just had a feeling, but I pretended to fall asleep. And she was like, Claudia, come do the date. And I just didn't move. And she like literally came up and like was poking me. And I was like pretending I was literally asleep, even though any normal human being who was asleep who would have been woken up by like her screaming in my ear. And I ended up doing it. And like if I had paid attention, I would have known. Like, she literally tells you, like, what the month and the date is. Like, you don't have to come into class knowing the date. I just remember being so, like, confused by the concept of the date. I'm like, how is everybody knowing what month and date it is? And I was dreading, like, for weeks, like, my day coming up. And then I just pretended to be dead in the back of the classroom, like, but but I ended up figuring it out. It was humiliating.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah. I remember, like, I think I ate a bag of Dipsy Doodles after. I was like, really, like,
you had to eat your
that's
feelings.
When the emotional eating began.
I understand. I mean, as a child, you're not really responsible for time and, like,
right.
days, months. Now I guess all kids know the date because they have cell phones.
Right. But back then, like, seriously, how was anyone supposed to know the date when I didn't even know what dates were?
I guess there's always, like, a calendar in the classroom, but still.
Right. If I had paid attention, I would have known.
But I do think the point of that exercise was to learn of dates. Course.
That's how I'm sitting here today, knowing that it's Thursday, May 25th.
To learn about them because you don't know them already.
No, I know. It was a vicious cycle.
I understand.
So you have any stories like that? Like trauma?
I'm sure that I do.
They just, like, pop into my head at random times and I actually suppress them because they're humiliating.
Yeah. I also have, like, stories, like, thoughts that I've had where, like, I didn't raise my hand in class where it's like, I wish I said that.
What do you wish you said?
Just, like, something stupid once about in Humash class.
Humash is, like, Torah, like, Bible.
Yeah.
Calling it Bible makes it feel Christian, but we have a Bible, too. But we call it, like, the Torah, Humash,
yeah,
Talmud.
Yeah. So I just had, like, an interesting thought that I feel like the class might have liked, but I wasn't brave enough to share.
What was the thought? Share it now. We're healing our inner child. Yes, yes, yes. I just shared mine. Come on.
Okay. Okay. So in Exodus.
Okay. Which book is that? 5?
That's when the Jews are slaves in Egypt and Moses brings them out.
Okay. What book is that? Like 3? I feel like that's not the end. Maybe 4. No. Maybe 4.
Doesn't matter. Okay. Irrelevant.
No, I'm just testing my own Humash
objection.
Knowledge.
Relevance.
Okay. Sorry.
So Moses, like, goes to Pharaoh to demand that he free.
Let
my people go. And, like, the first time he goes in, he says it, like, with a really big boom in his voice. And then he, like, repeats it and it's, like, kind of lower. And the Bible doesn't give, like, that much color to every.
You're,
like,
supposed to extrapolate.
So, like, all the rabbis, they, you know, they spend their whole lives, like, adding color to the stories in the Bible. And so the way that, like, I saw it, like, kind of like in a movie, like, I thought,
that's,
like,
kind of weird. Why would he say it twice? Like, once loud, once quiet.
Right. So
there's meaning there that we're supposed to extract.
Right. And that was the conversation we were having in class. Okay. Like, why say it once loud and once quiet? And I feel like in the lines before, it was like he was galvanizing people mm-hmm. to, like, go with him to Pharaoh to let his people go. And I feel like I could see it, like, it being in a movie where he, like, walks in, he has, like, all this, like, hype around him. He's like, let my people
go. He's feeling confident.
But then it's like he didn't have as much fanfare behind him as he thought. And then he was like, let my people go.
No, that's totally the answer. And you should have said it.
Okay, well.
No, it's like we're all big and brave until, like, we.
Yeah, you say it and then it, like, echoes and you're like, oh, fuck, I thought I had peeps behind me.
Right, right. But it's just me. So it's like, let my people go.
Please.
PLZ.
PLZ.
Interesting. And so you never said it.
I never said it.
But you knew it.
No, but it's just like, I don't know that I knew it because it's all.
Open to interpretation.
Open to interpretation. But, like, that was my interpretation. I feel like the class might have benefited from it. Maybe even the teacher. Like, she could have been teaching it. Like,
maybe she had never heard that theory before.
Right. And so maybe, like, I stifled, like, other years of classes learning.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have
you
that
opinion. You should be ashamed.
They didn't have that opinion to ruminate on.
See, and nobody in the room at that time, like, thought twice about you or, like, what you were going to say. But that's, like, something that sticks with you. Isn't it so weird?
Yeah, everyone's on their own journey.
Even though I'm telling you, some kids in my kindergarten class definitely remember the girl who, like, pretended to be dead in the back of the classroom.
No, because they don't really remember kindergarten. And again, everyone's, like, thinking about themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so glad they weren't called on to do the calendar.
Yeah, but what month was it?
It was either March or May, something with an M. I remember feeling, like, triggered by the month.
Because I remember being a kid and I used to get seasonal allergies. So, like, when the seasons were changing, like, I would have to take Benadryl and I would hardcore pass out in class, but it was, like, so acceptable. It's,
yeah,
like,
of course.
Oh, she has allergies. Right. Like, she's down.
You're
for
like
the
sick
count.
Girl.
She's down for the count. Her right. Benadryl kicked in.
Right.
So maybe, like, they thought you had taken a Benadryl.
Yeah. I mean, it was feeling unseasonably warm, if I remember correctly.
If it was May, you're kind of in the green zone. Green.
Yeah. Green. Okay, so that's today's unpacking of childhood trauma. Tune in tomorrow for more.
Yeah.
Even though we don't have a show tomorrow.
I'll try and think of more stories.
So this is the last show everyone's going to see me before I go to Tay Lord at MetLife. Mm-hmm. And we have a bunch of Taylor news because she dropped a bombshell after the episode yesterday.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a bombshell, but she dropped a nice
say it's a bombshell.
Little surprise for the fans.
I watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians season 3, episode 1. Last night was also Vanderpump Rules reunion part 1, which we're going to talk about in that TV recap segment. Mm-hmm. I know you didn't watch Kardashians, so let me just tell you, like, it was good.
I'm excited.
It was nice to have the girlies back. Like, there's definitely an undercurrent brewing between Courtney and Khloé. I mean, excuse me, Courtney and Kim. Mm-hmm. We know it's like about the Dolce, but there's just like a disconnect there that we're seeing. Like, Courtney was not really in the episode that much. But there's, every time she's talking about Kim, like, it's not good.
Okay, I'm really excited to watch, but it came out at midnight and Yar Girl was fast asleep.
Me too. I watched it this morning while I was getting ready because I'm in this like new era where I'm watching things in the morning. I feel like it's such a great way to wake up.
I watched more Ariana call her daddy while I got ready this morning because I can just stick my phone on my mirror because I have this little sticky grippy thing, and I do my makeup in the mirror and I watch. Like, it's
nice.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's nice.
So
we're just consuming content, firing on all cylinders.
Consuming content, creating content. Yesterday, we posted a Patreon episode, kind of like the one everyone's been waiting for, about why I'm in New York, why I've been in New York, and like why I will be here for a little bit longer. And the whole story is on Patreon. I'm not going to tell the whole story again. The episode's 55 minutes.
It's like a six-week saga.
It's very detailed. But I will share with the toast, because I'm not trying to like clickbait the news or anything. And like, I feel like it's germane to, if you're a toaster and not a Patreon toaster, like you still want
to
know.
Deserve to know.
But I did have some pregnancy complications that brought me to a doctor in New York to stitch up my cervix. And now I'll be getting my care here for the rest of my pregnancy.
So, and while the circumstances aren't great, we are just delighted to have you back, Jax.
Thanks. It's been nice to be back with my girl, Swirly. I know she needed me.
I desperately needed you. And now I feel like you're in a good place with your maternity wardrobe. You got a huge package yesterday to the studio. You're currently wearing one of the pieces. Like,
yes.
It feels like all's right.
Yeah. Shout out to Smash and Tess because they have like maternity jumpsuits and they sent me a couple of them. And that's really what I'm feeling right now. Like,
you look fab.
I love a jumpsuit.
The Kardashians episode opens up with a Beyonce song, which is like so big budget of them. And I've been singing it all morning. What do you hear me? What do you hear me? I feel like falling in love. It's a Cuff It. I'm in the mood to fuck something up. It's such a like real line. I am in the mood to fuck something up. Maybe this episode. Maybe I'm going to fuck it up.
Maybe not. Perhaps not.
No, in
perhaps
a good way.
Else.
No, fuck it up is like, it could be good.
Okay.
Oh, I fucked that shit up. Like, I tore it up, you know? Or like, she fucked it up. Like, she destroyed it. I wasn't saying the lie. I was saying, I'm going to fuck this up. Like, let's fucking go, bitch, you know? Okay. Let's give them the best damn episode they've ever motherfucking seen.
Okay. It sounds like you're saying a lot of conflicting things, but okay.
Just know it's all positive.
Okay.
Just.
Cool.
Just, I need pregnancy brain. Like, I'm gonna fuck it up in a good way. Is that so derogatory when people say that? Like.
It's okay when the pregnant says it.
So like what I just did, I was acknowledging was not okay.
Yeah. Mama's.
Pregnancy brain.
Get her. Mama's get her.
The mamas came out in full force for you yesterday. I was like scrolling through comments. And what was so great. Well, not great, but you know what I mean. What was so positive about your episode was that when you were dealing with this like weird kind of medical rarity that we didn't know much about, we didn't like have anyone we could talk to who was like, hey, did you have this? Like, what did you do? And that's the beauty of the toast and like such a great community of women, but especially moms, was like so many people were like, oh, my sister had this. I had this. Here's what happened to me. And it's just so much comforting not to know you're not like this freak. Like,
yeah, no. And just to hear like other people's stories, good stories, different like
journeys
that people have been on. And I figured that when I shared, like I would start to hear from more women who experienced the same, literally the same thing or something extremely similar. And I have. And it's been like very comforting to know like, oh, this is just like something that happens sometimes and we got to deal with it.
And you're not like an outlier. It's like a thing.
Yeah, which like I knew because like that's what the doctors have said, but it's different when like you know people or you've heard stories.
Yeah. Well, I love you. I love you dearly. I'm so glad you're here. Touched. We're going to give a gorgeous episode. I'm touched. I feel so untouched and I want. That's another like core memory, opposite of childhood trauma, like whatever the opposite of that is, like core memory. Mm-hmm. When we met the Veronicas at Nobu, when we were like, we're in the city as kids, like for a big, I think it was your birthday, right?
Yeah,
birthday extravaganza. And we were obsessed with the Veronicas. That was like at their prime and we saw them. Yeah. And we took a photo, right?
Yeah, we did.
We got to find that photo.
I know, we always say that.
It's like on Facebook somewhere. We haven't even looked. We got to find it.
Yeah. So until we find it, I think that we should deliver.
Yeah, I think
the Fast Eye stories that you need to know.
And today's episode is brought to you by Mattress Firm. So there are so many things that can keep one up at night. We're calling them sleep disruptors. For me, it's, you know, dark thoughts. For others, it's back pain, whatever it is. But that's why we took the Mattress Matcher from Mattress Firm. Mattress Firm has the tools and expertise to help you find the right mattress. Their sleep experts receive over 200 hours of sleep training to get you the sleep solutions that you deserve and to find a mattress that fits your need. So you can chat with one of their sleep experts in store or online if you don't want to talk in person. Sometimes it can be a little embarrassing, whatever you've got going on that's keeping you up at night, and that's fine. You can discover the right mattress by using the online Mattress Matcher. Their Mattress Firm's online quiz will ask you questions about your sleep preference and recommend a high-quality mattress at every price point. They help identify common sleep disruptors like snoring, tossing and turning, pain, and all that can help you find the right mattress. So with summer here, Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is the place to find the perfect mattress and bedding accessories for better rest. Shop in-store or online at mattressfirm.com. I have been a Mattress Firm girly. My mattress that I have had for many years is Mattress Firm, and I'm proud to say it. I bought it on a Memorial Day sale because I feel like everyone thinks Memorial Day, they think barbecue. They think pool.
They think we can wear white jeans now.
I'm thinking Mattress Firm Memorial Day sale. It is the best time to buy a mattress. I literally remember me and Ben were in the city and we had just moved and we were like looking for like stuff to do. And I'm like, Ben, we have to get a mattress. And really, I think we went to a few different stores. Mattress Firm had the best pricing and the best sales and the best mattresses. It's lasted really long. One thing about me, I'm sleeping good, you know?
Oh, yeah. She's not compromising.
So you can shop in-store or online at mattressfirm.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Manscaped. Ladies, June is just around the corner, and our guess is that you haven't purchased a Father's Day gift yet. Well, look no further than the sponsor of today's show, because our friends at Manscaped are dedicated to upgrading his grooming game from face to waist. Their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit is the total package dedicated to making sure all fathers go from dad to daddy this year. Have him join the 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TOAST at manscaped.com. Moms, you're going to like this one. Whether you have, you know, a husband who's a dad or you're blessed enough to have your own dad, what's that like? Check out manscaped.com. So this package is really going to make your dad the MVP of his little group, and it's gonna make you the MVP of the family. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit. So inside the package, he'll find the signature Beard Hedger trimmer, beard shampoo and conditioner, beard oil, beard balm, and two free gifts with their signature beard comb and scissors. With 20 hair cutting lengths and a singular guard, he'll be able to craft his look like never before without the mess in the drawers. It's something all the ladies can appreciate. No more, you know, cleaning up little tiny hairs that you'll find for weeks on end. The Lawnmower 4.0 is their game changer for trimming in the sensitive areas. And we all know dads love their comfort. If his grooming routine is already dialed, make sure to hook him up with Manscaped boxers. They are without a doubt the best boxers for men of all ages. Get 20% off and free shipping with code TOAST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use code TOAST. Make this Father's Day one he won't forget. And just like, you know, be the number one girl in this group when you get your dad the best gift this year. And then like he'll all year be like, oh my God, I love this girl. She's like the best daughter.
Yeah,
that's great. I love that experience for you, since personally I can experience that.
Yeah, well, Ben is Theo's dad.
Yeah,
but Ben's got his Manscaped.
Oh, he does. By the way,
he literally is the face of Manscaped.
He is. And by the way, not Ben losing, I literally got him like the whole package. He loved the lawnmower for his face. This is actually not even a sponsor anymore, like the ad is over. And he was looking so haggard, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? And he's like, I lost the thing. He thought he left it in Portugal. And I'm like, this motherfucker, like, I can't bring anything into this house. Cut to, it was in his suitcase. And now he's back to looking better. But like, if there were a few weeks ago where you thought like Ben was looking like a little rusty, that's why.
Rusty and crusty.
That's Rusty Soffer. That's so him.
Okay, our first story is some sad news to start off the day. I'm sorry. Tina Turner has passed away at the age of 83. Tina Turner, the iconic singer who was dubbed the Queen of Rock and Roll, died on Wednesday, May 24th at the age of 83. Her publicist confirmed to People that she died in her home near Zurich, Switzerland. Tina Turner, the Queen of Rock and Roll, has died peacefully today at the age of 83 after a long illness in her home near Zurich, Switzerland. With her, the world loses a music legend and a role model. There will be a private funeral ceremony attended by close friends and family. Please respect the privacy of her family at this difficult time, the statement says.
So sad. She leaves behind such a fabulous legacy. There were Lizzo at her concert last night did like a Tina Turner tribute. It was really amazing. And then that video of Beyonce performing Big Wheels Keep On Turning at Tina Turner's like Kennedy Honors like went viral last night, and I watched it. It was like really spectacular. I just feel like this is, you know, 83 is, it's a good age to go. Like, it's, she lived a long, very, very successful and prosperous life, but it's a huge loss for the community.
Yeah, it and is. So many tributes are coming. Like, everyone's posting about it. Everyone's sharing.
Another one that went viral, which is one of my favorites. I don't think I ever really realized it was Tina Turner, is the Schitt's Creek of it all. You know, Patrick and David's song is "You're Simply the Best." I call you when I need you.
I didn't realize. Your heart's on fire.
I love that one. You come to me wild and wild. He like strips it down on a guitar, so I don't realize it's Tina Turner until he goes, "You come to me, give me everything I need. You're simply the best." That's a really good one.
That is a good one. I didn't realize. I hadn't thought about that scene in so long, and I didn't realize it was Tina Turner.
There's two. So he, remember when they like closed down the apothecary early, yeah, and yeah, he just like dances for him, and it's like kind of weird but really cute.
But then he also does like the
performance. There's like a talent show or something in the community, and he does it. And I think that's when like David realized like he really loves, yes, him, and it's so, and Moira's like behind David, like holding his shoulder. It's literally like the cutest thing ever, and it's like such a random song for them to have chosen for that moment, but it really is perfect.
It is perfect.
Then, you know, when a major celebrity dies, comes the onslaught of really inappropriate social media behavior. And I feel like the last time we had this with Olivia Newton-John, I believe it was, I don't know if I called it out on the podcast.
We called out the idea of Rip Olivia.
Rip Olivia, but it was Garcelle on Twitter being like, Rip Olivia. Like, no other context. It just felt so, like, what's the, don't even share, you know?
Yeah.
Can't even write rest in peace. And we saw more of that behavior last night. And I'm going to start calling people out.
Okay.
And because you know what? Yeah, the one I saw yesterday that you sent to me, not only was like what they said, rip Tina. Like just so you're going to like someone's entire life into seven letters. But the format in which they posted it on too. I didn't even know people still use this.
Instagram status update, like, which is, doesn't go to your whole feed, but just like the people who you mutually follow and follow them.
They were Rip Tina. I think there was like a dove. It was Blake Hortzman. Like that's,
I don't think there was a dove even.
Oh.
Let me check.
Well, I don't even know that you still follow Blake Hortzman. Love that for you.
You don't?
I don't. You do?
Oh, it was a broken heart emoji.
Even worse. The dove would have been more respectful.
Yeah. Yeah, because I kind of like, I don't know how to get out of following people sometimes. And I actually don't mind following him because like him and Giannina I find really interesting and like, they're constantly doing things, yep, and really into each other. Mm-hmm. So that's not someone I'm even trying to unfollow.
Yeah.
But I, especially when someone follows me back, like I will follow them until I die.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I understand that.
And if it gets
that
really bad, I will mute them.
Yeah. Oh, I'm the queen of muting people.
I only really unfollow, like if there's beef. No, because I kind of like want to rise above the beef. And I'm like, I'll still follow you.
Yeah. No, because I'm such a big person. Like, like I'm so mature. I love to do that.
Yeah, I'm so much. Like I literally can't unfollow. Like,
no, I love when someone unfollows me and I like remain following them. I'm so mature.
Yeah,
and like I don't even see you unfollowing me because I'm so busy being mature.
I'm above this petty squabble.
Nonsense. I completely agree.
I guess I would only unfollow someone like if they posted something that like I thought was like
offensive.
I'm offended. Dangerous. Yeah. Like, goodbye. I don't want to see it or something that like makes me upset. I'm like, I don't want to be upset on my Instagram feed. Right. Good day, sir.
I said good day.
Yeah. But for the most part, I just follow.
Yeah, no, that's funny. But what's not funny is Tina Turner. We're wishing her family well. A great legacy she leaves behind.
Yes, for sure. Next up, Taylor Swift announced Midnight's deluxe album with Ice Spice and more Lana Del Rey. So right after we wrapped yesterday, Taylor posted that she will be releasing a deluxe edition of Midnight's titled Midnight's Till Dawn that will feature Ice Spice as a guest on her fresh version of Karma and newly recorded vocals from Lana Del Rey on their Snow on the Beach collaboration. Because when that song first came out, people were like, where's Lana?
Right. By the way, I listened to that song probably 50 times. I never once heard Lana. Was she silent? Or was she silenced?
It's kind of like Chris Stapleton on the other song.
Yeah.
I Bet You Think About Me.
But since he has like a man's voice, no, I hear a little bit of like a harmony from like a lower register.
Does he have a verse?
No.
Okay.
That's what she does. Like You All Over Me with Maren Morris. I ain't hear Maren. Same with Esty Haim in I Think She Did It, But I don't hear him.
Yeah. I love Snow on the Beach. It's one of my favorite songs from Midnight. So it's very clear to me that Lana's missing.
Yeah.
The other songs I haven't like listened to as much. So I don't think about as much.
Well, I love the concept of giving Karma like a new, I feel like this is a thing people did like 10 years ago. You would release a song and then you would release it again with like a really sick verse on it. And kind of how Cardi B like brought that Maroon 5 song back from the dead. You don't want a girl like me. I'm too crazy. But every other girl you meet is fugazi. Show them other girls were nice enough. But you need someone to spice it up. So who you gonna call? Cardi, Cardi. Come and rev it up like a Harley, Harley. Why is the best fruit always forbidden? I'm coming to you now doing 20 over the limit. The red light, stop. I don't play when it comes to my heart. Keep trying. I don't need a white horse in a carriage. I need a white Porsches and carrots. Whatever. That was like literally one of the best rap verses of all time. And like you can't tell me no. And like nobody even heard that song before Cardi B was on it.
I don't know about that part.
No, by the way, that song was fucking. I think Maroon 5 has even said like we released this song. It Girls flopped. Like You. Girls Like You. It flopped. And then Cardi did it. And then everyone loved the song as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, it really is a good song, the Maroon 5 part and the Cardi song. But I never would have heard it without Cardi.
Got it. Okay, interesting. I didn't know that was the history of the song. Thank you.
So I love this concept of Karma, like, having a new moment. For me, though, the big story from this new version of Midnights is Hits Different.
Yes, so digital and physical editions will each have a format exclusive track. For the digital release, it will be Hits Different, a song that was previously only available on the Target version of Midnights. More interestingly for fans, the physical edition will have a vault track never before heard from the Midnights writing session, and you'll be able to buy it at MetLife, her
Taylor's
show
like
this weekend.
So this is where Taylor annoys me. Okay, so it's like we waited months and months for Hits Different, which is like one of these secret tracks. Finally we're getting it, only to find out that there's another secret track that we can't get unless, and who the fuck knows how to play a CD? I don't have a car. Most car things don't even have CD things anymore.
Yeah.
So like, let's say I even get, I'm going to MetLife. Let's say I get the CD. What the fuck? I gotta go get my Walkman from storage?
I'm trying to think. Some computers still accept a CD.
And then you can like burn it onto your like laptop. Yeah. What is this? Like LimeWire?
Maybe you have to go to the library.
No, literally.
That's really crazy.
But I can't really express like the gratitude I feel for being able to finally listen to Hits Different. Some angel goddess like ripped the audio from their CD that they bought at Target. Like Taylor does this thing where she puts her best songs as like exclusive songs at Target. She has this partnership with Target where she sells different versions of her CDs at Target, and you get like an extra song. New Romantics, literally one of her best songs, nobody heard for years because it was like a Target thing. Now it's like on Spotify and everything. So she does this thing, it's so annoying, but some angel goddess bought the Target thing. I don't wanna like blow up her spot, but she put the audio, she like uploaded a podcast to Spotify, but it's just the song. So it's like the Hits Different podcast, but it like everything else was getting taken down. Oh, but I think when she put it up as a podcast, I listened to it for a while. I'm not sure if it's still up, but she was a queen. And now we're finally gonna get it. Like I've been dying to like pop my pussy to that song.
Well, now's your chance. And the all new song on the physical Midnight's MetLife album is called You're Losing Me, which is feeling like
Joe.
Maybe we would understand why Joe lost her.
Mm-hmm. I chased the artifacts, cried over a hat, find the space that I'm needing. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited for the Karma remix because Karma is like one of those songs. It's like not my favorite. Actually, no, sorry. I'm confusing it with Vigilante shit for a second. But still, Karma's not my favorite, but it's like really strong and solid. And I think it just needs to be like punched up one or two notes.
Karma is a song that like I liked in the beginning, but it didn't rise to the top once I really got to know the whole album. However, the tour made me like it so much
That's
more.
That's what I heard. I heard also the Same tour Bejeweled. Makes you like Vigilante shit.
No, Vigilante shit will and always be like not my favorite song. And I don't know why it made it onto the Eras tour set list.
I think because it's a one you can have fun with. It's so descriptive and it's like...
Well, she does like a very sexy dance with a chair on tour to the song. So like people are loving that. But it's not giving what it needs to be giving.
Also, speaking of Taylor, we need to talk about the fact that she was out in New York last night.
No, we don't need to talk about it.
At one of Claudia's frequent haunts. But to make you feel better, like you were never going to be there was night one of Vanderpump Rules.
Of course not. I was not getting dressed. I was not staying alert. And it's almost like she knew like all the thirst monsters would be inside watching Vanderpump Rules.
True.
So she would be free to roam the restaurant in peace.
Genius.
I feel it felt personal. Her going out to a restaurant I go to all the time. That's actually the restaurant I went to look for her. when I was getting dressed and staying alert. It's her fault. And like, it's over. Yeah. Because her first concert is tomorrow in New York. So she's not going to go out tonight. Like, she's got to prepare. So like, her week in New York, like, it's over. I can't like
Where
now.
Where does she go after New York?
That is a very good question.
Maybe she's still on the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah, like at some point when she's like in LA, she's not going to be coming back to New York.
No, but she's been like a New England queen these last few
Right, so she goes to Boston, she comes back. She goes to Philly, she comes back. Because even though she has her house in Rhode Island, I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. The Rhode Islanders were saying that she was going to be spending the week in Rhode Island.
Chicago's next. She'll definitely come back.
You think?
Chicago's like an hour flight.
Where's after Chicago?
Detroit, Michigan. That's also like a quick flight. Yeah. Pittsburgh, she'll definitely come back. Minneapolis, I don't know.
Where does Matt Healy, where is he based?
UK.
He's based in the UK.
Yeah. Then Kansas.
I feel like UKers like New York.
Yeah, well, because when you travel to the States from the UK, going to LA is literally an additional 6 hours after a 6 hour flight.
But I just feel like New York and London like are friends.
They are, and they're like very similar cities. I feel like if you like London, you like New York. Yeah. They're like fast paced, meet people, like
I feel like Londoners could like look down on LA.
Definitely.
And not want to spend a lot of time there.
Definitely.
So that's good for New York.
Yeah. And Taylor has like a good setup in New York. I think in Rhode Island, she does not get a lot of privacy. Like everybody knows where her house is and it's not like protected in a sense. Like people can go to the beach and like see her house and yeah, they're far, but it's weird. In New York, she like bought that whole block. She has her own garage. She pulls in. She like she has it made in the shade.
Plus, it's still a little cold to head to
the beach.
The beach and Rhode Island. Like, I don't think it's, the season's not in full swing yet. That's why Memorial Day, after the mattress firm sale, like, maybe she'll head over there.
And by the way, this is, like, the greatest time to be in New York. In like, a month or two, New York is insufferable. It's so hot and smelly.
Yeah, she will not be back.
She will not be back. But right now, it's, like, the best weather. She's been wearing, like, cardigans, like, not.
She's like me.
Yeah, no puffy jackets. She's really here at, like, the high season.
Yeah. So I think Love she'll be for here her. For, like, the next few weekends until summer's in full swing, and then she'll go to her summer house.
Yeah.
Where she summers.
Where she summers.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still have, so there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. I think, I believe in you.
Thank you. It was just tough because like I have gotten dressed and I have stayed alert.
All for naught.
All for naught. And I like went to the place.
And you had a blowout last night. Not Shut to make up, you feel
please.
Worse.
Please, you are making me feel worse.
But you couldn't have. You had to work.
Yeah, no. I just also, even when I, you, people were DMing me because I guess they were like waiting outside. They're like, Claudia, she's here. She's here. No part of me even felt compelled to go. Like I was, I had tanned my face. I was barefaced. I was laying in bed with Theo. I was eating a fudgesicle. Like there was no way.
I understand.
I'm kind of in my popsicle era.
They're really good.
No, they really are. Like
I'm in my like pint of ice cream era actually, which is so, I've never really done it before. But now either. Like I kind of sit down. I don't eat the, I like probably eat a third every time I sit down with it.
What flavor?
I like Dolce de Leche Häagen-Dazs.
You're doing Talenti?
I do Talenti and Häagen-Dazs. Talenti's a little healthier, so like you could have a little more. Sure. No, like the calories on the back.
Yeah.
They speak for themselves. Like the whole thing is like 700 something.
Oh my God.
Whereas Häagen-Dazs, it's like 1,000 something.
Oh, so it is.
So.
But is it more quantity?
Or I less? Think it's the same quantity. Okay. But it's gelato. It's not ice
cream. Right, so it's like made with real stuff, allegedly. It's like real cream, not like synthetics.
Yeah, but oh, last night I had banana pudding from Magnolia Bakery.
Ooh, yum. I did like the popsicle brand. Like the thing about me when it comes to popsicles, like I want the all-American popsicle brand. Like I don't need these newfangled brands, you know?
Yeah, the ones made with like Greek yogurt.
No, no, no. Even though those Yasa ones like are very good. But I like when I go, especially in the summertime, I'm feeling real American popsicle brand all the way. Like the ones that come in a pack of two and you rip them apart. Mm-hmm. That and Outshine brand, those are my favorites. I'm just kind of in my popsicle era. It's just so nice to get into bed like with a popsicle.
Yeah.
It's like a snack and also like a game.
No, it's a fun way to snack.
Yeah, and it's like, how long can I suck on this, you know? And it's like, is it going to fall on my shirt? It's just like exciting.
Is Theo going to have the best night ever?
Yeah, with the fruity ones, I do give Theo a few licks. The chocolate ones, never.
And then you lick it back yourself?
No, usually when I'm at the end of it, like I let him go. Cute. I was trying to think, like, do I actually do that? No, I don't.
Okay, good.
It's like kind of gross.
Yeah. Great. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Margot Robbie reveals the dorky actress that turned down Barbie. Oh.
I saw this. Oh my, I'm choking.
Margot Robbie revealed she tried to cast Israeli beauty queen Gal Gadot in her upcoming blockbuster because she had such strong Barbie energy, but the actress turned her down. She said in her Vogue cover, which is like so cute and
adorable.
Some quotes are coming out, but this was, you know, one of the best factoids. She said, Gal Gadot is so impossibly beautiful, but you don't hate her for being that beautiful because she's so genuinely sincere. And she's so enthusiastically kind that it's almost dorky. It's like right before being a dork. So she asked her to star as Barbie in the Barbie movie, but she wasn't available to shoot the film. It was likely that she was busy filming other projects, including Greta Gerwig's upcoming Snow White film. Oh, I didn't realize she was working with Greta Gerwig on Snow White.
Which is interesting, as we were discussing yesterday, because we know Gal Gadot is an extremely, you know, gorgeous Israeli queen, and Greta Gerwig like hates Israel. So interesting. Nice to see Greta getting past her biases to work with talented actresses.
So I went, because when I first read this, I was like, Greta Gerwig has said, made some anti-Israel comments in the past. She like signed this letter of like trying to boycott like an Israeli artist. And so I just assumed that that's why Gal Gadot like wouldn't want to work with her. Right. So I went to see like what she did originally that like, you know, sparked all of this, but she has since expressed regret. She like signed a letter with 60 other people trying to boycott the Lincoln Center from having this like artist come.
Oh my God.
Was like Israeli and his production was like sponsored by like Israeli cultural, like
tourism or whatever. Yeah.
And so 60 people signed the letter and she was one of them. But then she later expressed regret at signing the letter. And she said that she's generally careful about causes that she supports, but in this case, she was not. She was unfamiliar with the complexities of the letter and did not take the time to study them.
Okay, you know what? Santa Queen, who can
admit when she's wrong.
Okay, I take back what I said. Having said that, I love Gal Gadot, and I do not think she's right for this role. And that's, I'm trying to think whether it's like, I can only envision someone who's blonde in this role, but I just don't think she's right for it.
I could see why, what Margot Robbie's talking about, because she can be very like silly. I feel like that's how she was in Wonder Woman. She's like this gorgeous Amazon woman and she's like kind of dumb, like
yeah,
like I feel like that's how she would play it, and I'm good on that. Like I'm not looking to see that.
Yeah,
I feel like I could see that movie and it's like it would be annoying, because even in Wonder Woman she got to be like a little annoying. She's like this big dope walking around with her sword and her shield and she's like can't even like see herself.
Right,
I can't,
right.
You didn't see Wonder Woman?
No, I didn't see Wonder Woman.
But if you saw it, it's like good, but there's just something weird about her portrayal of it where she's just a big dope. Like,
okay.
And I feel like that's what she, that when Margot that Robbie says
is
dorky.
Is what she's describing.
When she says dorky, I say dopey.
For sure. I just feel like with the Barbie movie, like it was always meant to be Margot Robbie. I know Amy Schumer was originally cast. That didn't feel right. That feels right.
No, I love the Amy Schumer casting because it was like Barbie.
But it would have been a totally different movie.
It would have been Elf Barbie edition.
By the way, obsessed with that concept.
Obsessed. And the thing about this Barbie movie is that still people like don't know what the plot is.
Right, right.
Because the Amy Schumer one, and at first it was being like thrown around as it being like Elf. Like she's cast out of Barbie Land because she's like an outcast.
Or like that Amy Adams one.
Enchanted.
Yeah.
Which I love that. Those are all amazing movies.
And that's like, funny.
It works and it would work with Barbie. So they've said that that's not what this is, but like in the trailer, it looks like at one point they're in Barbie Land and then at one point they're in the real world.
Yeah.
And that they like escape together, Barbie and Ken.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of talk about, you know, who would have or could have or should have played Barbie. And I feel like there's not enough talk about who should have played Ken, because I don't think Ryan Gosling is right for it.
Who should have played him?
Somebody younger. I'm sorry. Like, they're supposed to be like flawless, right? Margot Robbie is a flawless human being.
Mm-hmm.
He's aging well, but he's not flawless.
Wow.
Like a Jacob Elordi type, you know? Like he's a perfect specimen.
Mm. I hadn't thought much into
Austin Butler. A perfect specimen.
God. He'll start like walking around at award shows.
Oh my God,
like
literally.
This.
Sorry guys, I don't have any joints. Thanks. Nice to meet you. So method.
So method. Also, the Barbie album track list came out.
Yes.
And it's filled with.
But Taylor's not on it, right?
No.
There was so much speculation. Like, pretty much in the Swiftie community, it was confirmed that she was going to be a part of it. And a lot of people thought that Hits Different was being saved for the soundtrack.
Got it. Well, they put out, like, this lineup of the album artists. Ava Max, Charlie XCX, Dominic Fike, Dua Lipa, 50/50, Gail, Haim, Ice Spice, Cali, Karol G, Khalid, Lizzo, Nicki Minaj, Pink Panthers, Ryan Gosling, Tame Impala, and the Kid LAROI. Then it says more Barbies and Kens to be announced.
So maybe Taylor's still in the running.
Yeah, that could be another announcement.
There are some, you know, highlights on there. It's not like so star-studded as I thought, but like Nicki Minaj, Ice Spice.
It's strong, and it's being produced by Mark Ronson.
Oh,
which
I have all
well.
Of the faith.
I will sit down and put the album on like while I do my makeup and give it a shot.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're going to do the Barbie song, right?
We had a story about this. I don't think that they are. Remember we talked about this?
Who sings it originally?
Aqua.
Aqua. I think we should get them back together.
I know, but there was a story that said this song will not be used in the movie, period.
I mean, that's moronic. I feel like Nicki Minaj could have done like a really cool new...
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Barbie. Like something cool like that. I don't know. I'm not an artist. Just like
throwing
some ideas out there.
Throwing some stuff out there.
Like I feel like Super Bass, like her Super Bass era, her fans are literally called Barbs. Like,
no, I know. That's why she's on the album.
No, of course. But like she should have done, like honestly, Beyonce and Nicki Minaj on the Barbie song. That would have been cool.
But we'll get new Barbie music.
I know. But like it's a classic for a reason. I'm a Barbie girl. In a Barbie world.
Yeah, honestly, it's so iconic. Like, Life in Plastic, it's fantastic. Just the song itself.
The lyrics.
Come on, Barbie, let's go. Like, every lyric is...
Come on, Barbie, let's go party. Yeah. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
Huge mistake.
I'm sure there's reasons.
Yeah.
And they got their reasons. Just like you.
What'd you do?
When you walked out of my life and you didn't have to.
What'd you send me?
Send me reeling.
What can you do? There's nothing I can do. About what? About you taking my heart and breaking it right in two. I love that, man.
Love.
Like bullets.
It's been hard for me this week to not listen to Luke Combs while I get ready because I'm like in my podcast era. And I miss him.
Well, I'm in my walking era. I don't know if I told you about I walk now every day here and to and from.
Because you're free.
Because the laptop, I'm free of my laptop and I just have my purse with like lip gloss, sunglasses, chapstick, a fan, sucking candy, got some Rolos in there. And I feel free as a bird. So I am now listening to music when I walk.
What's your soundtrack?
My liked songs right now are the Luke Combs and Ed Sheeran song, which is so good. I think it's called Life Goes On.
Mm-hmm. I actually forgot to add that to my liked. Have you been listening to Kelly?
No.
Add her to your liked.
I know. Wench. I'm fucking up.
And one of her songs, both of them are kind of like ballady and emo, but like if you love Kelly, like they're so powerful. But one of them has a remix. So if you need like a pep in your step.
Okay.
Like you did mine.
And I've been listening to Next Thing You Know. I love that song.
I haven't fallen into it yet, but I'm sure in 2 years, I'll be playing in my car saying, have you heard this one?
No, it's like a song. It's so sweet. Like, I've heard it before. It's like, it goes viral on TikTok, but then I saw him perform it at the ACMs and I actually listened to
it's
all
Jordan
the words.
It's Jordan Davis, right?
Yeah. I listened to all the words and it's so like emotional.
I'm
like, you're going to cry.
No, I know, but I'm still hung up on By Dirt.
Bad Dirt.
Find the one you can't live without.
What'd you do?
Get a knee, let your ring hit the ground.
Get a knee, let your ring hit the ground.
That's pregnancy ring.
Do what you love, call it work. And what are you going to throw?
Throw a little money in the plate at church.
What are you going to send?
Send his prayers up and your roots down deep.
Add a few limbs to your family tree. By the way, we interviewed him on the ACM red carpet. And he's like, oh, I just was watching your guys on TikTok getting ready for the thing. He was like, you came up on my FYP. I'm like, that makes me think, like, who else's FYP am I coming up on? Toast Clips. Like,
so true.
Kylie? You never know. That's the beauty of TikTok.
Depends how much time she spends on it.
I always think about, like, celebrities who, like, some of them probably, like, mindlessly scroll TikTok and they just see, like, civilians.
Yeah, they see, like, you and Ben popping each other's pimples.
Mm-hmm. Is that exciting?
Yeah. I never thought of that.
That's all I think about.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Because the Kardashians premiered last night.
Yes.
I did not get a chance to watch it, but Claudia did. She's going to do a mini recap and also talk about some of the biggest bombshells that came out from the episode, one in which being that Kim reacted to Kanye accusing her of cheating with Drake.
Yeah, so at the end of the episode, Kim like sat down with Chris and she had like had a really bad day. And she's just like, I don't know why everyone like can't keep their shit together. So like, I'm always the one who has to keep their shit together. And she's just saying what we know, nothing new, just basically like, you know, the kids one day will appreciate that I didn't say anything. They get in the car and they want to listen to daddy's music and I jam out with them and it's like so hard for me. And I know I'm doing the right thing, but like I'm also human. And she said like, I can take it when he comes for me, yada, yada. But he's been coming after Chris at this point. And like, that's really hard for Kim. She like feels this responsibility to protect everyone. And that makes her want to fight back. And Chris is like, you're fine, you're fine. But also what was interesting, and I guess I didn't really think about, he was going off, at the time that they're filming this, like he was going off, just like kept bringing up her sex tape. And she's like, you know, the way he is acting down the road, like the kids will see that and they will be far more embarrassed of the way he's acting than like of my sex tape, which I made when I was 18 and like was clearly a mistake. Like it was, she had a really good head on her shoulders about it, but she's like, where, like her patience is wearing thin.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, he keeps saying he's my protector. He's my protector. But like the whole time we were married, like he was the one perpetuating that rumor that I fucked, like was having an affair with Drake during our marriage. And that whole Kiki, do you love me thing? Like that was him. So like how he can say he was my protector and now continue to say he's my protector is like, are you delusional? Like,
yeah,
you're not.
Yeah, she said the one that was supposed to protect me and still does interviews saying that they will be my forever protector is the one that's hurting me the most. He was the one that started a rumor that I was hooking up with Drake, having an affair. Our whole marriage, he accused me of that publicly. I really can't wrap my head around how he thinks he's a protector.
Yeah, no, it's just like, it's that everyone has been there when you're just like arguing with someone who's not rational. It's like, it's not, it's pointless.
Yeah.
Then it's like Kim's name being dragged through the mud. And I hope Kim has like peace knowing like, during the times when Kanye has been like on his, you know, spiral, nobody really believes what he says. So, you know, there's solace in knowing that.
Well, I think a lot of his fans do. Like, but I think he has his own fans and Kim has her own fans. And I think there are some people who are fans of both of them who have to like, you know, within themselves parse out like what they think is true. But I think like his fans believe what he says like about her. But the like we're primarily Kim fans and I'm like, we don't know the half of anything.
Yeah. No, and like the fact that she's like talking about this rumor about Drake means it's not true. Like if she had an affair with Drake, she wouldn't have brought it up, you know?
Well, she didn't say that she didn't. Did she?
No, she called it a rumor. Like yeah. She didn't.
I don't think that she did.
Me neither.
But I think even if she did say, but like it's the fact that he keeps bringing it up.
Right. That it doesn't die because
he's bringing it up, whether or not it's true or false.
And that's the same with the sex tape. I think like Kim gets so mad every time he brings up the sex tape. Like, one, because, like, they have kids together and all the obvious reasons. But also because she had said, like, every time you re-bring it up, it's like you remind people. She, like, feels like she's made so much progress, like, as a businesswoman, as a lawyer, as a mom. And she's gets far away from the sex tape thing that to the point where people for many years, like, didn't even think about it. But now it's like you keep bringing it up. You remind people.
Yeah. Agree. But I also feel like she brings it up sometimes. Like, she... because I think it's so in the forefront for her. Like on SNL, she was like bringing it up in her monologue. And I just like was like, I'm moved on.
We're past it. Yeah. But I think she like is afraid of everyone talking about it. So she makes the joke first. Yeah. Especially at SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited to watch. That's really sad.
Yeah. It wasn't like a crazy bombshell episode.
But was it enjoyable watching?
It was just great to see the girls back. There's like something going on with Chloe. And it's like there's an undercurrent too. She's talking about she has this melanoma situation, which I think ends up being really serious. But something really, I think, like very honest that she spoke about that I was shocked. It's like a very vulnerable thing. She's like, she's really having trouble at this point in the show, like connecting with her son. She's like, nobody talks about this part of surrogacy. And like, I wish somebody had. Like, I didn't like fully, I kind of buried my head in the sand when she was pregnant, the surrogate. And then it's like, I just go to the hospital and come home with a baby. And it's weird. And, you know, Kim didn't experience this. So I don't really have anyone to like commiserate with. She's like, I wish more people spoke about like, there's a weird element of surrogacy. I thought it was like so brave because I think it's not similar, but similar to like a postpartum, where like you can't connect with the baby, and hers are obviously for different reasons, mm-hmm. but she's going through something and she's like just not herself and she's so thin and like she is also dealing with this health thing and she's just not being her like fun Chloe self.
Yeah, but I also feel like if you like last season, she was already not in a great place. And so
yeah,
to then go through a health situation and welcome a new baby and like not be starting out at 100,
yeah,
it can like really drain you.
Like they had this event and she sat next to James Corden, and honestly I was like loving the James Corden. He was being like so funny.
She loves him.
Yeah, and like he was being so funny, and she just like, you could tell like the smile, like the giggle, like it was like just very like social, like it wasn't genuine.
No, like she's really been struggling.
Yeah, no, I felt for her deeply. And then like Courtney was going on and on about how like everyone in the family, she said it in her interviews, and then she repeated what she said to Chloe when they were having this one-on-one. She was like, I feel like the family's really good at, you know, celebrating each other and having fun together and lifting each other up. But when the time comes for someone who's like going through something dark or grieving, like we don't know how to be there for each other. And I was like, okay. And then she repeated that like a couple days later to Chloe, and Chloe was like, what? Chloe's like, I feel like, one, that's not true. I feel like I actually am so there for everyone. Like it was just like a weird take that I wonder, Chloe clearly disagreed with, and I wonder if everyone else disagrees with too.
I also feel like if anyone could speak to the family being there for you in a tough time, it would be Chloe. Like, cause right, she's one there for everyone, but two, like
she's been through.
She's been through, not to compare, but like the most and most recently. And like, if she feels like her family is there and supporting her right now, like what instances Courtney talking about where she didn't get that?
Right. I felt like maybe that was Courtney's, like a reflection of how Courtney felt, but not necessarily indicative of the whole family, you know?
But what has Courtney been going through or like needing support that she didn't get?
They struggled with fertility. She opened up about how she's done with IVF. They did 3 rounds. She had frozen her eggs at 38 and 39. Actually, I thought this was a good point that she makes. Like everybody talks about egg freezing, like it's the safety net. And nobody really talks about how like you can freeze your eggs, and then hers didn't make it through the thawing process. So it's like, if it's spoken about like this foolproof safety net, and that's what she had thought. And she was like really, you know, sad to learn like her eggs didn't make it into embryos because they didn't survive the thawing process.
Oh, that I didn't know. I knew that embryos are more secure, like
if you freeze embryos versus eggs.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that like you could freeze your eggs and not have an egg.
Right. So that's probably something now she's at the place where she's like, you know what, if God wants it, like we're just fucking all the time. And if God wants it, it will happen. But like, I'm not going to continue to do the hormones and take that toll on my body physically and mentally. I feel like she had a really good head on her shoulders about the whole thing. But I'm sure that was tough for her. Because yeah, I know like her and Travis really want to have a baby.
So she felt like in that situation,
Wasn't referencing that directly, but you had said like, what has she been through? Right, and like, right, you know what, you never know. Yeah. And that's something I think that was probably really tough on her.
Interesting.
But they're speaking about how like they're being very open about how like Chloe and Kim are like the new Chloe and Courtney.
They've been saying that for years though.
Yeah. And they're like planning this day, I think it'll be next week, where it's like Chloe and Courtney take Calabasas and they like do crazy things.
Chloe, you know? And Courtney.
Yeah, is that what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're trying to get their mojo back. But then in the trailer for next week, Courtney said something that was like A, kind of mean, and like B, kind of delusional. She was like, you know, when we were younger, there was always this like very like competitive nature between Kim and I, which I think was like natural and like very sisterly. And I just don't think Kim has let that go. Like I have. And it's like, okay, sure, Courtney. Like, okay. And it's all about the Dolce & Gabbana thing.
Got it. That looks like the hottest tea that's so coming out this
what
season.
We know is that Courtney's married already. In this, where we're at, yeah, the wedding's over. And Kim is designing, they want to do like have the creative director for a season design and walk and like plan the show. And it will be, I think, 5 months after her wedding. The collection won't come out until 9 months, but the show will be 5 months after her wedding.
Okay.
And Kim is having reservations about it. Chris is like, you have to do it. It's such an amazing opportunity. And Kim is like, I know it's an amazing opportunity, but like I am feeling a certain way about it. And because I don't think Courtney knows yet. Because of Courtney, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think Courtney knows yet.
Okay, so I didn't realize that Kim, like, recognizes first that there's a weirdness to it.
Right, but it's also interesting they gave backstory. The whole relationship between the girls, the family, and the Gabbanas is through Chris, not Kim.
Not Courtney.
Not Courtney. I never thought it was Courtney. I thought it was Chris. I would just assume. I mean, I thought it was Kim.
No, I thought it was Courtney. Kim had never worked with D&G before.
Yeah, but Chris was always going, like, there was, like, there was something.
There was, yeah, something, but, like, when Chris went to the Altimoda, remember yeah, that, in Venice, like, Courtney and Travis were there.
Yeah, but Chris had gone, so fucking hard to talk about these people. Chris had gone many years in a row before that.
Okay.
She was always going to Florence with Simon, like, always.
Okay.
So I could have guessed, if you had asked, like, maybe, and I sat down and thought about it, it being Chris makes the most sense, which really means the relationship belongs to Chris.
And belongs to all the sisters equally.
So if Chris is blessing it, which she is, she's really encouraging Kim to do it, then I think it's kosher.
Okay, I didn't know it was Chris's. I thought it was Courtney's. Like, Courtney mm-hmm. kind of brought, like, D&G to the family and the family to D&G. And then like they plucked Kim from that and that kind of.
No, I would have to assume that like when Courtney was looking for someone for her wedding to design and like be, they went through their roster of connects. Chris brought Dolce to the table and Courtney liked it.
Yeah.
So it's Chris's relationship to dole out.
Okay, that changes things for me.
It does, and I think it makes a better case for Kim.
100%. 100%. Okay, are you ready for our fifth and final story that's going to lead into our TV recap of Vanderpump Rules?
This is the fifth and final story that's going to lead into our TV recap of Vanderpump Rules that's brought to you by The Perfect Bar.
Tis.
This episode is brought to you by The Perfect Bar, the original refrigerated protein bar that you know and love. Today is a very exciting day because Perfect Bar is launching a new line of protein bars called Perfect Bar Layers. So the Perfect Bar Layers are a new line of crispy protein bars that are stacked with three delicious layers and packed with whole food nutrition. They're made with crispy base of peanut butter and cashew butter. They're layered with dark chocolate or 100% real fruit, and then they're sprinkled with toasted gluten-free oats. They're packed with up to 11 grams of protein, and they come in two delicious flavors, crispy peanut butter and chocolate and crispy peanut butter and berry. They're basically a healthy peanut butter and jelly. They are so delicious. They're also refrigerated because they're made with, you know, only the best of the best, whole food ingredients. They're a classic blend of over 20 superfoods. They contain no artificial preservatives, and they are, of course, stored in the fridge. We have some here. They're perfect to just have around at home, at the office, whenever you need like a boost throughout the day, you're hungry, you need energy, you just need to feel like you can make it through the day, Perfect Bar is always there for you. If you aren't already convinced, they're also non-GMO project verified, gluten-free, soy-free, kosher, and low GI. Perfect Bar layers are now available to purchase online, and we have an exclusive link just for toasters. When you go to perfectsnacks.com, use code TOAST for 15% off your first order. What's very exciting is that we've been working with Perfect Bar for a long time, and we've been able to get you free Perfect Bars, but now we have a code, which we haven't had yet. So perfectsnacks.com, the code is TOAST for 15% off your order. Can't wait to hear what you guys think of the new Perfect Bar layers at perfectsnacks.com, code TOAST. Today's episode is also brought to you by Lululemon. The Lululemon shorts, specifically. They were made to stretch, flex, and support the infinite ways of working out, giving you the courage to leap into something totally new and unexpected. So they have a bunch of shorts available at Lululemon for men and for women, and here are some of our favorites. The Hottie Hot short. It's the short with a comfortable range of motion and a flattering fit. They allow you to max your stride so you can move freely with confidence. The lightweight Swift fabric lets in airflow so you can move without baggage. They're designed to wick away sweat before you even notice that it's there. The Wonder Train short is also a favorite of ours. The short with supportive stretch that also keeps you dry. It's powered by Everlux fabric. The Wonder Train collection manages heat and sweat so you stay comfortable and focused. The fabrics is super breathable. It absorbs moisture and wicks sweat during the even most intense training. Also, the Pacebreaker short, which is one of their best-selling men's shorts. Great for Father's Day gift or just someone in your life. The versatile short is up to any challenge. The ultra lightweight fabric means you can train, move, and stretch how you want without the baggage. Each pair of Pacebreaker shorts is designed to wick away moisture, so all that's left is your intention. That's the best part of Lululemon. They're an athleisure brand that you can trust. And with shorts, with the hot summer coming up, it's really tough to be walking around with like your crevices moist. Moist crevices, undercarriage sweat, crotch sweat, whatever you want to call it. It's a tough time of year. Swamp ass is my favorite. It's a tough time of year. So make sure you're prepared. Make sure you're prepared, Jackie, okay? With moisture wicking material, the shorts from Lululemon, whether you're working out, running to the grocery store, don't let undercarriage sweat get to you. Get into Lululemon shorts at lululemon.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our fifth and final story, a little Vanderpump adjacent news before we get into the recap of Reunion Part 1. Andy Cohen crashes a Vanderpump Rules reunion watch party and takes shots with fans. So Andy joined in on the camaraderie and surprised a group of fans watching the highly anticipated reunion in New York City on Wednesday. He posted on his Instagram story saying, I got an invite to crash a Vanderpump Rules viewing party, which is like a block from my house. So he and his co-host John Hill from SiriusXM Radio Andy grabbed dinner at Via Carota before deciding to crash the bash. He said, okay, we're doing it. I just want to say this is just going to be a drop by, but we'll see. I also would like to see if they have any desserts.
Yeah, they showed up. I felt like they had smoked pot before because they're walking up. Andy Instagram storied the whole thing. He's like, I hope they have dessert. I'm so hungry. And John is like, I'm starving, but they just came from dinner.
But maybe they didn't get something sweet after. And that's something that is really relatable. Important. When I have a dinner, I need something sweet.
A to sweet top treat.
I need a sweet treat to top it off.
Oh, 100%. But I just read Andy's book and he pretty much like smokes pot every night. So he was definitely like, munching.
Got it. But they were also just like having a good time. He brought a bottle
so
of
cute.
Pre-made Negronis and buzzed the building's bell. Then they women like screamed when.
Well, the girl whose apartment it was, I think she knew that Andy was going to show up. So she opened the bell for him and like they quietly like trotted down the hall and the girls were freaking. It wasn't like a crazy watch party. There was maybe three or four, five people and they were freaking. And Andy like beelined for the table. He was like, do you have any desserts?
Yeah, they did shots together, had an overall good time. That's really crazy.
No, it was really sweet. I think there's like a lot of people who've interacted with Andy who would say like he's not like super nice. Like I think like he's one of those celebrities that has like not, you know, great like rep.
Okay.
But this is really endearing.
I feel like
to
it
give
just
back
depends
to the community.
Where and when you catch him. Like if you're like, and how you approach him. Like, I feel like in his personal life, he's probably like a really nice guy. But like, if he's working and someone's coming up to him, like maybe he's not the nicest or maybe on a bad day. And I feel like you said
he
that
talks he says about
that
it in his book.
Like he maybe has like a short fuse and is quick to like be a little rude.
No, but also
but I don't
like,
think he's a rude person.
He's the head of like the Bravo universe and Bravo fans can be like very overbearing and maybe like, you know, invasive a little bit. So he definitely deals with a lot. I wasn't saying that he's like a mean guy.
But I feel like when you catch him in the right environment, somewhere where he wants to be, like he went to these people.
He made the choice.
Place, like you're going to get a good Andy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was very sweet.
But I don't think he's like 100% rude 100% of the time.
No, no. I also think we got a good Andy the day of the reunion. I think he was like loving that like this was going to be like one of the most watched reunions of all time. Everybody really showed up to the reunion last night like wanting to leave their mark. Mm-hmm. And it ended up causing a little bit too much of chaos.
Agreed. Let's get into the reunion. That's exactly what I thought too. Like everyone wanted to speak. Everyone had their one-liners. Everyone's upset and thinks that they're
the most
upset. They're like James being like, you were with my ex-fiance. And it's like, I forgot that James and Raquel, like that element of it and that James and Tom Sandoval were friends. Like everyone just wanted their moment in the sun. And like, I just wish everyone could have calmed down a little. And I swear, I feel like that's what we said the day that they were filming.
That everyone was like on their best, like
everyone was just like too hyped up and they're going to film for 10 hours. You will say your piece, like, but just let people speak.
No, I will say I think the person on the best behavior was either Katie or Sheena. Like they were the only people who didn't just like interject so much. James and Lala were really funny, but like towards the end, they were really annoying me. Like most of the conversations that were being had were actually not about them. Mm-hmm. And if we could just let like Schwartz, Sandoval, Ariana, and like a little bit of Katie, if we could let them get in and like figure it out, like that would be great. Even Lisa was like talking more than she needed to. And I know she probably felt she needed to be like peacemaker and not defend, but like help Tom Sandoval out a little. I actually did appreciate that because everyone screaming at one person
is not interesting.
It's not interesting. It's not helpful. Not letting him respond. I will say it was funny though when he like first the first thing he said, he started to cry.
Oh my God, hysterical.
And James was like, shut up. Like that was truly funny. But I kind of like went downhill from there. It was a little too chaotic.
I agree.
And there are moments in reunions when like it gets to that place and it's so chaotic and everyone's screaming over each other and Andy yells and everyone calms down. But from start to finish, Lisa was like, we're going to be here for 10 hours. It was the very beginning. For it to be like that from the start was like a little overwhelming.
Yeah, hard to follow. It's like, who should I be listening to when everyone's talking over each other? And disappointing because they're starting to like fumble the situation a little bit. But I actually enjoyed, strangely, because we said so many times we don't want to talk about the rest of the season.
Yes.
When they segued into conversations about the rest of the season, we were able to have like normal reunion conversations. And also everything is like Scandoval adjacent, like Sheena.
No, now it's all layered.
It's all layered. But I felt like hearing from Sheena was really interesting about
I feel bad for Sheena.
I feel so bad for Sheena.
She probably feels so stupid.
Yeah. And next week, when she said in the trailer for next week that she's trusted her husband in bed with Raquel, like...
crazy.
These people are fucking crazy. Morons. Like, that is... that. First of all, she's Jezebel.
Yeah.
But even if she were, like, the person that you thought that she was, like, what are you doing? Like, why is your husband in bed with your friend?
And I want to say, in defense of Sheena, like, I actually feel like everybody minimizes, like, the history of the group. People really do forget, like, how Sheena was such an outsider for so long. And I do now really understand why she felt so protective of Raquel. Of course, she didn't know Raquel was going to end up being this Jezebel. I understand why she maybe saw a little bit of herself in Raquel and... The way that she just, even Lala being like, bully is a strong word. No, actually, bully is the perfect word. Like, they were so mean to her. I do understand Sheena a little bit more after last night. And I don't blame her as much for vehemently taking Raquel's side. It really wasn't about Raquel versus Katie. It was about, like, her own trauma.
Right. And I feel like, historically, she's always taken the side of the new girl. Like, even when Ariana came in, like, she had her back. When Lala came in, Sheena had her back. When Charlie came in, Sheena cozied up to her. She also always has her weird other intentions thing, like, going on. But I think the core of it is that she wants to protect new girls against this, like, mean girl mentality that she experienced. But I do think in certain situations, it's like a phantom mentality that she's creating based on what happened to her, because not everything is the same thing as what happened to her.
Yeah, I just, and Andy did ask this, there is a conversation worth having about the hypocrisy in the group, of course, as it pertains to Tom Sandoval, and the fact that, like, nobody would hear anything, like, about, like, anytime anything was brought up from seasons past, whether it's James and Kristen, whether it's Lala and James, like, whether it was about cheating or not, like, it was automatically shut down by the group. And there really is a conversation worth having. And you need the context of the group. And everyone would just be, that I was 21. Like, no, actually.
No, the thing is, there is a scale. And what Tom and Raquel did is the worst of it. But, like, other people have landed elsewhere on the scale. But I do think that you could, like, say, yeah, I made a mistake. But if it's a one-time thing versus, like, a seven-month affair. Like, there,
no, it's so much worse.
A mistake versus, like, a conscious, diabolical, psychotic situation, it's different. But yeah, no, we're not all angels sitting here, but, like, you're actually the devil.
And I really wish everything had just slowed down a bit, because, like, you know, there was so, Tom Sandoval told Andy the day before that Schwartz didn't know until January, and Schwartz said, no, you told me, remember, in August.
So I think they're both, unfortunately, like, they're both kind of telling the truth, because Schwartz didn't know that they were having an affair until January. But Schwartz did know in August that they had sex once.
No, but Tom Sandoval, like, intentionally lied to Andy, like, manipulated language.
Yeah, but there wasn't an affair to know about in August. Like, when did...
But they fucked.
I know, but, like, that's not... them. That one time fuck, like, that, which is horrible, is not the thing that we're almost mad about, which is the seven-month affair right under your girlfriend's
nose.
Yeah,
but Tom Sandoval, like, he knew, because he knew that they had fucked. Schwartz. And then he had, Schwartz, excuse me, he knew that they had fucked, and then he had said that thing to Katie. Like,
yeah, he had his suspicions.
Right, so Sandoval did lie. And so I just felt like if the whole group, like, slowed down a little bit, we could have gotten more out of the reunion.
But I do think he told him once in August and once in January, and they're talking about two separate things.
Yeah, I just wish everyone had slowed down, like, overall for the whole reunion. Like,
yeah. And just, like, let Sandoval speak, even though he is a devil. Worm with a mustache. Like,
let him bury himself.
Yeah. Let him.
I did kind of love the concept of having a camera on Raquel, even though she didn't say anything. Her facial reaction, she's like, was like eating it up. It was,
she's like obsessed. And also, she's like liking hearing her boyfriend.
The boys, both of them.
Yeah. Like, talk about her. Like, oh, I want to know what he thinks about me. Like,
yeah. No, it was diabolical.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was fine. It was a good episode, but we need to hear from her. I feel like everything, even the sit down with Ariana and Tom, like, we've heard all of this now between Watch What Happens Live, all the podcasts. We have not heard from Raquel.
No.
And that is what I need.
Yeah.
I need a one-on-one with Raquel.
Yeah, because you know when she comes on, everyone's going to be yelling at her.
I know, and it's like, honestly, she deserves to be yelled at. She's the devil, for sure. But can we hear? Like, I'm curious.
Yeah.
I really need everyone to calm the fuck down.
No, I know. It's too much. And we knew, like, it would be.
Everyone was just really James and Lala. And it was great at first, but at the end, it got tired. Coming for everyone, including Lisa.
Yeah, no, and, like, just, like, speak when spoken to. Because anytime someone asked Lala a question, like, when Andy asked Lala about... just, he asked a random question that, you know, about Randall leaving their house. And then Lala actually made a great comparison between Tom and Randall, like how you can never get him to stay home, but then once shit hit the fan, like, they, I couldn't get him to leave the house. And I thought that was so interesting. So it's like, just your time will come to say your piece. Just wait.
Yeah, but I fear, I mean, this is part one. I feel it's going to stay this chaotic the whole time.
Yeah. And I don't know why they've done so many reunions. Like, don't you know, like, just
how it works. It's always best. It's a slow burn. Like, let it get there to come out so hot and not, I couldn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. It was just chaos. Mm-hmm. And, like, James getting up, like, it was a little performative, you know, but I love him.
Yeah, but he is really angry. And I guess you have to think about the fact that, like, Raquel was his fiance.
Tom was his friend.
And Tom paid for their engagement. And
right. And I wish they dived into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. That is, like, one of the great wonders of the world to me. Like, why the fuck did he pay for that?
Yeah. Also, why isn't something about her open yet? Because, like, on the end of the season, it felt like they could open in a month.
Well, they said end of May, and that's now. So we'll see.
But I haven't been seeing, like, promotional materials. Like, wouldn't they have opening day?
Like an event, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Let me check the Instagram. Like, I want them to open.
Me too. Because there's a lot of momentum. People won't care about this for that long.
Yeah. No.
And like, I thought it was really smart of them to start selling merch. And I guess they put that money into the business.
So smart. And then they didn't have to get maybe
investors.
Coming 2023.
In the reunion, they said May.
And they haven't posted since March 6th.
That's a wasted opportunity.
Yeah. Especially since the point of the shop was to be like a low lift sort of thing.
Right. Right.
So they got to get open.
I thought really, I wouldn't say anyone came off super well or super good. I think Schwartz came off really bad. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of like I'm always looking for this
reckoning.
Word. Thank you. The reckoning, like years in the making for Tom Schwartz. And like, I'm honestly here for it.
Yeah.
Maybe even more so than I'm here for the Tom Sandoval reckoning. Like, I literally hate Tom Schwartz.
Right. Because there's nothing ambiguous about this Tom Sandoval reckoning. Like, it's
bad is bad, you know. Yeah,
but with Schwartz, it's like, now I'm seeing everything differently, and it's nice to watch him get his just
comeuppance.
Though I thought he made a good comparison. Like, the whole season, I'm like, Schwartz and Raquel making out is so wrong, like, so bad, whatever. But then when he explained the situation, like, if Katie had done it, like, they're in the same house, Schwartz wants the divorce, blah, 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 and then Katie goes and makes out with Peter, like, nobody would care.
No, but I think that's because Peter's really not in the group. Like, if she went out and made out with, the thing is, there's no other single guys like to compare. James, like, for example, it would be a big deal.
Yeah, that's true.
It's because Peter was not an accurate. Peter is not Raquel. Raquel is a main character on the show.
Yeah. Okay.
But I did think he did provide color. Like, he really was, in a sense, I hate to use this word, but like a little bit of the victim in the divorce. I didn't realize that his brother still had cancer. Like, he was going through a lot.
Yeah.
And then he got divorced, and we know he didn't want the divorce. We know Katie did. So like, yes, he was like the injured party here, but he still agreed to this agreement. No. Yeah. And he broke the agreement. So wrong is wrong.
And just for a kiss, like for right, literally
with
nothing.
Some harlot who was fucking your best friend.
Right.
So honestly, like, it was exciting and it was, you know, funny at times, but I don't feel like we made really any major progress in the conversations because everybody was just like wiling out.
Yeah.
It was a little frustrating.
It was. Hopefully next week things could calm down more. Sheena breaks down next week.
Apparently there's a big bombshell that comes out.
Really?
And I don't know what it is. A lot of people were speculating that Raquel was pregnant.
You don't think that's true?
A lot of people, like, you know, there were those rumors about Brock and Raquel. I don't think that's it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if the bombshell is about Sheena. I don't know if the bombshell is about who the other person that Tom admitted to cheating with. I don't know. And I don't know if it comes out in part two or three, but apparently there's a big bombshell.
Damn. I don't think the bombshell is what's going to make Sheena cry, though. I think that Sheena might be going through something in her personal life outside of all of this. And it's just a different conversation. That's right. Like, the vibe
maybe something fertility related or.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either. But there is a big bombshell.
Yeah.
And somehow Sheena is a part of it.
Sheena and Lala bought houses in Palm Springs.
Oh, wait. That was an interesting conversation about Sheena, Lala, Katie.
And look, Katie was 100% right. Like, if this roles were reversed and Katie was friends with someone that Lala wasn't getting along with, how Lala would, you know, be at 100 being like, you're dead to me.
Yep.
And so that's all Katie said. I thought Katie was right. And it's true. Like, Katie and Sheena have legitimate beef. Like, Sheena championed this girl making out with her ex-husband. And, like, Lala is the type of person that demands, like, 100% loyalty from all of her friends. So, like, Katie's allowed to be a little fucking miffed about it.
No, but then at that point, I kind of, like, did feel bad for Sheena in that moment because, like, I felt like Lala was, like, minimizing their friendship to explain to Katie. She was like, I mean, it's really just because of the kids. And it's like, okay, well, like, we're also friends. Like,
and it's like, and it's not. They literally want to all live together.
No, I know. And that's fine. But, like, she was really minimizing the friendship just to, like, make Katie feel better. And, like, Sheena's just sitting there being like, yeah. I felt bad for her.
Yeah, but, like, Sheena needs to
make it right with Katie.
And she has to, like, go through the motions of accepting like what she did was wrong. Like, yeah, she was completely wrong in that situation.
Yeah. And I don't think Katie's like easily forgiving people at this point, but I do think her and Sheena like need to make it right.
Yeah. I don't think she's easily forgiving people, especially people who like, what is there to salvage between her and Sheena? They literally have not been able to get along for 10 years. Like,
yeah,
maybe they're just not meant to be friends.
No, that's true. That's true.
Some people like just don't get along.
And that's fine.
And it's because everyone's so different. Like personality wise. By
the
way,
the Joe stuff was weird. So I didn't realize like her and Tom like were fucking at some point, Schwartz.
Yes.
And then they went on like a trip with, yep, Raquel and Joe. Like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
No, there was like, the more we unpack, and that's why I wish everyone had just fucking slowed down. The more we unpack, like, the more guilty Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval are. Like, it's not just the affair. Like, it was very layered. And if everybody just calmed down, we would really see all the shit that they did to hide this.
Yeah.
And all the weird things they did.
Yeah.
Like, why wasn't Ariana invited on that trip? It was before they found out about the affair. And it's Joe, Sandoval, Schwartz, and Raquel.
I feel like I read somewhere about that trip that it was like the Toms went on a trip. Schwartz invited Joe. And Joe came and brought Raquel. Raquel, like, crashed the trip. And then it turns into, like, this double date.
No, and the fact that, like, now we're getting the timeline, like, at glamping, like, Schwartz and Sandy had known and they had already fucked. Weird. Like, I need to rewatch everything now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when it gives her that big hug, and when when Schwartz is like, I know Raquel's type. Taken. Layered. Yeah. These people were so brave. Like,
yeah. And the fact that, like, what Allie saw at the Abbey
was the night.
And was exactly what everyone was scared it might be. And I was like, how were they dancing?
And it was the night they started.
But, like, were they grinding?
They must have been, like, something.
Well, I wish you would describe the type of dance. Or was it, like,
maybe Allie will come out and explain. Right, were they doing the cha-cha?
Yeah, or sometimes, like, you dance, it's, like, you know, pointing. Yeah, dancing.
You can dance with another person of the opposite sex. Like, but are you, like, grinding legs between legs, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It must have been nefarious.
But why didn't she say so? Why didn't she say they were grinding at the Abbey?
I don't know if people say grinding anymore, but that's
it's,
why.
It's important.
It's important, yeah, of course. I think Allie does come out at some point, right? She blew this case wide open.
But I also don't see Tom Sandoval as a grinder. I do see him as more of, like, a jumping dancer.
No, I see him as, like, kind of, like, sexy slow dancing, like, old couples at weddings who, like, really, like, still get it on, you know, and after the kids go to bed, they're just, like, their hips are, like, touching and they're, like, swaying. That's what I see him as. Yeah, I think he would describe himself as, like, an old soul.
I don't know. I kind of see him as, like, jumping around, pointing, like, not really
connecting. Well, yeah, when he goes to Coachella.
Not really connecting.
Yeah.
But were they connected?
But him and Raquel have a deep connection, so probably.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for next week. I'm just loving this journey. It was so exciting. You know, 8 o'clock, watching with commercials. Like, it was very exciting.
I know. It is sad not to have a Watch What Happens Live after to decompress.
What the fuck? Wait, that was weird.
They've never done a Watch What Happens Live after reunions before. Like, they don't have cast members on to talk about the reunion because, like, we're talking.
Oh, but I feel like they've been capitalizing on every inch of this.
Yeah. They could have even had, like, two lay people on to talk about the reunion, not even cast members.
I was, like, ready, and then it was Summer House Martha's Vineyard. I'm like, yeah. Oh, cool, but where's Andy?
Yeah.
Interessant.
Yeah.
So that's our show. Mm-hmm. That's the recap. Thank you so much for listening. Our last episode of the week.
Oh, we'll miss you. I hope everyone has a great holiday weekend. Stay safe. Have fun.
Eat a lot. Go to a barbecue.
Have a hot dog. Yeah. Yum.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast and Melania Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. Also, if you're on Spotify, you can see me on Spotify, News, and Spotify, Hope you guys have an amazing holiday weekend. We love you, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Love ya. Bye.